sports, entertainment, and Maine's best guest list. Live from Seasons Restaurant on Main Street in Bangor. On The Pulse, AM 620 WZON, WZONThePulse.com, and the WZON app. This is Downtown with Rich Kimball.
And welcome into the second hour of the program here on a Thursday afternoon from Main Street in downtown Bangor, our quality jewelry studios at Seasons. Rich Kimball, Ryan Waning with you, and let's get right to it. In this second hour, if you've seen the trailers for this brand new show that debuts Tuesday night on Sci-Fi Channel Zero, looks absolutely fantastic. And we're thrilled to be joined right now on the telephone by the producer, director, writer. You've seen his work, too, on Hannibal, Believe. May have read his short story or novellas like the Shirley Jackson Award winner Midnight Panic. Nick Antosca, thank you so much for being with us.
Hey, how are you? Thank you.
We're great, and you know we work on a station owned by Stephen King, so you'd think we'd be ready for anything, but man, those trailers are creeping the bejesus out of us.
Well, Stephen King was a big influence on me as a kid. I was an obsessive reader of his books, even when my parents wouldn't let me. And season one of our show, Candle Cove, was kind of pitched as, like, this is our Stephen King homage season. You know, it has a lot of that spirit of some of the greatest Stephen King stuff, somebody, like, digging into their past and finding stuff from their childhood that, like, scared the hell out of them and, you know, haunts them to this day.
Oh, well, it sounds fantastic. Now, this is a six-episode run, and you've got you've signed up for 2 years of six-episode runs. And tell us, for anybody who doesn't know, and I want to make sure I say it right, though I can't imagine it's any other way, but Creepypasta, is that right?
Yes, that's right. Every season is based on a short story that comes from this sort of genre of stories of horror fiction called Creepypasta. It comes from the word copypasta, which sort of refers to spam that's, you know, copied and pasted on message boards in the early internet. And people started writing these weird horror stories that kind of pretend to be real, like they're written in first person. And it got the name Creepypasta, which is obviously sort of a silly name. But the best of these short stories are like the modern urban legend. So these really creepy, weird, unsettling stories that that are built around, in the best cases, a genuinely disturbing and unique concept. And Candle Cove was the first one that we picked.
And this is based on the writings of Chris Straub. And Candle Cove, the story is that it begins, correct me if I'm wrong, with the reminiscences of a guy thinking back on a TV show that he watched as a kid, and then it turns out that there are lots of twists, and maybe not everybody, including every kid, was able to see this show.
Yeah, so the original short story is actually, it's pretty unusual. It's written in the form of message board posts, right? Like the story, you find it online, you might think you're actually reading the transcript of some random net nostalgia forum, TV nostalgia forum from like the early days of the internet. And it's just written like a series of different people posting. Like somebody's like, "Hey, do you remember that that show Candle Cove? I used to live in the Ironton area in 19 whatever, and I used to watch this show." And somebody else is like, "Oh yeah, I saw that too," and that kind of thing. And as these people have this conversation, you know, each person is remembering something different, something specific from the show. Oh yeah, and the villain was this pirate that would steal your skin, and it was like, wait, did they really let kids watch that? You know, like, who made that? Who came up with that? And then when you get to the end, you sort of realize, wow, this show was way more sinister than just a regular kids' TV show. And it plays into that thing that we all have of like, wow, I remember that thing from my childhood that I used to watch, but like, what channel was that on? Did anybody else see that? Like, I can't find any record of it. It feels like everybody has that one thing, that creepy puppet show or whatever it was you saw as a little kid. You can't quite remember the name of it or track it down. So there's a plausibility to the concept. And then, of course, the challenge for us is taking this thing, which is message board posts, and building a six-episode story out of it. So it was really exciting from the point of view of writing. And we wanted to preserve like all the cool stuff from the original story and the mystery and and sense of dread in the original idea, and tell like a big, exciting, interesting story with real characters.
And boy, it taps into that sort of primal thing that we all have, where the memories, the real memories of childhood, kind of get confused with what you imagined when you were a kid, and those fears mix with reality, and it's hard to separate the two.
Yeah, and we played with that concept in terms of building the characters too, right? Like the main character who's played by Paul Schneider, his name's Mike Painter, and that's actually one of the handles from the original short story. So we took that name and built much more elaborate character around it. But part of the drama of the show in the first season is like, is this guy stable? Is he sane? Is what he's remembering real? And, you know, is what he's seeing real? So while we tell this creepy story about the puppet show, we also tell a story about this guy's kind of psychological breakdown, which was a little bit deja vu coming from Hannibal, which is all about like psychologically fragile characters and people just like barely clinging to sanity in the face of really scary stuff.
Well, we're talking with Nick Antosca. He's the creator of Channel Zero. It debuts Tuesday on Sci-Fi Channel. And listen, it's creepy times for all of us. Sometimes we get the most scared when there are scary things going on in the real world. And, well, I think the election would qualify in one regard. And also, do you have anything to do with these clowns everywhere?
I can't speak to that. I neither deny nor accept responsibility.
I understand completely. You talked about Stephen King and his influence. What were the things that scared you when you were a kid, Nick?
Oh, man. Honestly, like one thing that influenced the show, other than Stephen King, was when I was a kid, Twin Peaks came on, right? Like that was when it first aired. I must have been, I must have been like 9 or 10 years old. And my parents would watch it, and I wasn't quite old enough to know that that wasn't like a normal adult TV show, right? So I would see this weird, weird stuff on TV. And not only was it kind of inherently disturbing because of what it was, but on some level, it seemed to me like, oh, this is the world of adulthood? Like, what's going on here? and there's stuff from that show that stuck with me and definitely directly influenced Channel Zero. And the same is true. Actually, when you were introducing me earlier, I couldn't quite hear, but I think that you said that I was also the director of it, which I just want to say is not the case. I'm the showrunner, but we have a director who did the entire first season. His name is Craig McNeil, and he also was super influenced by Twin Peaks. So when we first sat down and talked about the show and the season and what it would feel like, there was a whole bunch of like common language, and also there's another Twin Peaks connection, which is that one of our producers and writers, Harley Payton, who's a co-executive producer on the show, wrote like 12 or 13 of the original episodes of Twin Peaks back in the first and second season.
Wow.
So it's part of like the DNA of the show.
Well, and I would think this format has got to be great, too, because 6 episodes, it gives you enough time to explore characters and really tell the story, and yet you don't have to worry about carrying over to another season because it's an anthology series, and it'll be a whole different story next year.
Exactly. So each season is basically like a movie. I mean, it's a horror film told in 6 chapters, and it's great for a couple reasons. One, you don't have to pad out story, right? Like, stuff happens quickly and it escalates and it changes. You don't have to tread water. And then you're going toward an end point, right? Like it's not like even like you have, you know, a 22 episode season like you do on some shows where it's like, okay, we got to, you know, come up with like 10 episodes of filler before we get to the end, even if you know what the end is. And it means that we can get actors who might not otherwise want to come and commit to a long series. We can get, we can get one director to do the entire season because, you know, if it was 10 or 12 episodes, it just wouldn't logistically be possible. But that format allows us to do something which, to to my knowledge, I don't know of any other show doing, which is we're making every season a showcase for a really interesting, exciting director from the world of independent films. So the first season we have Craig McNeil, whose film The Boy was at South by Southwest, and which I completely loved. So I tracked him down for this and was really excited to get him. And we're currently in production in season two. I'm talking to you from Winnipeg, where we've been shooting all night, every night this week. We have a director named Stephen Pyatt who's doing the second season, which is based on a creepypasta called No End House. And that'll be on in October 2017.
Well, there's such a revival. Not that horror has ever had a lull along the way, but there seems to be an increased level of creativity in the genre these days. And from your perspective, as the creator of the series, what's more frightening? Is it what you see, or is it the unseen?
It's the unseen, absolutely. And there's a couple different. There's lots of different kinds of horror. Right, the easiest kind of horror to do is gratuitous horror, jump scare horror, to a degree campy horror, and this show is based on a genre called creepypasta. Like, there is a campy version, and that's not the version that we wanted to do. We're much more interested in a show that creates a sense of like escalating dread, and something that you kind of. You feel sort of sticking to your ribs afterward, rather than something that, you jump and then you eat some popcorn and then you forget about it. So we spent a lot of time, thinking about how cinematography would create a sense of unease and the sound design and all that stuff, rather than just making people jump. And that consideration went into the writing too. How do you make something that's psychologically unsettling and that plays to childhood fears and creates imagery that you'll remember the next day.
Well, as somebody old enough to remember as a kid being scared to death at just the opening sequence of The Outer Limits, and I get that same sort of feel from the trailers that it gets in your head, and to me, that is absolutely the best kind of horror, the kind that makes you think and the kind that you don't forget when you turn the TV off.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, that's certainly the goal. And it comes sort of with the challenge of adapting these very short, conceptual short stories into six episodes of TV. And the way I think about it is each season of Channel Zero should be like the nightmare that you have after you read the story it's based on, right? Like, it preserves what's disturbing about the original concept and what we love about the original story, and then it builds, it just uses that as nightmare fuel.
I love that. Nightmare fuel. That is fantastic. Well, Nick, can't wait for the series to start Tuesday night. Thank you so much for making time for us this afternoon. Good luck, and good luck shooting season two, and try to squeeze in a little sleep when you can.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Take care.
That's Nick Antosca, Channel Zero, Sci-Fi Channel debuts.